The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Another day, another session. Welcome to the Clear Criterion. Inshallah, as we always try to do, we will cover some reflections from the Quran, and we hope that these reminders inspire us to become better believers, to strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be inspired by following or attaining the motivation to follow the way of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Following our routine, I would like to share with you a point of excellence regarding invoking blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam himself declared that we should often send blessings upon him sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And a reason he gave in one particular hadith was that he said this prayer of blessings, or invoking blessings upon him, this is a means of purification for us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam revealed it is a means of purification for you. For us as believers, when we think about purification, although the first thought that occurs to us is probably a thought that it's something to do with cleanliness or hygiene, here the purification that is being referred to is spiritual purification. And this is purification which is just as important, if not more important in certain situations, for things that can be seen, the outward state and condition which can be viewed by others. It is easier to control that, for others are watching, and the awareness and being wary of others might stop us from saying certain things or doing certain things in the presence of people who might be of authority, or people who we respect, or people before whom we do not want to lose face. So apparent purification in terms of the way we keep ourselves, in terms of the way we look after ourselves and our dress code, our physical state, whether we are sweet smelling or there is an element lacking in our physical state itself. These aspects are easier to manage or can be motivated by those who watch us, or those who are in our company, or those we meet and greet on a daily basis. But the inner is more difficult. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has given us a way of purifying our inner state, that if we invoke blessings upon him, where there are so many blessings in terms of the mercy from Allah and forgiveness of sins and good deeds being accumulated, there is also this element that we attain an internal and inner purification. The burden of sins, which can have a very negative effect and can become depressing. When the heart is affected by sin, it does affect the mind and in turn affects behavior. So we hope and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the ability and the mindset to invoke blessings upon his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam as often as we can, so that we attain spiritual purification. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Moving on in our discussion, we were looking at last episode, we mentioned a few points about the reign of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, and how the evil jinn, they took out the books that Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam had buried under his throne after his passing, and this whisper or rumor was spread by them among the Israelites that the reign of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, na'udhu billah, was based upon what the content of these books, which contained elements of sorcery or black magic. And some of the Israelites were affected by this in such a way that they maintained their inclination to learn the dark arts and to become engaged in finding ways of affecting creation through black magic. And the pious among them rejected this false, this slander against Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. And the verse itself revealed that Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam had nothing to do with the evil that was being attributed to him by the misguided folk, or the misguided people among the Israelites. And towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that ultimately, no harm can come to anyone if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not will it. So all means that we have in this world, Allah has created means. But ultimately, if something is to have an effect, the cause and effect, a factor in anything, is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where there are so many evil aspects or evil incantations and blasphemous things that can be said to potentially harm people, to counter that we have the sacred and powerful healing effects of the verses of the Quran and the teachings and the miracles of the chosen creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which counter the anomalous, deceptive, illusory acts of acts which defy normality, apparently so at least, which were performed by the evildoers of the past. And to this day, people practice black magic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the harms and the evils of black magic, and may we remain strongly affiliated and connected to Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the recitation of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, and more importantly, or just as importantly, the teachings of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And through this, we create a stronger barrier or a stronger shield to protect us against the evils of incantations and sorcery. Moving on to the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَمَثُوبَةٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ. And had they believed and adopted piety, then the reward with Allah is truly excellent. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If only they knew. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and through him, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that if these Jews who rejected matters from their scripture, and thus rejected matters related to or declared by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, all this discussion in the past few verses has been about how a certain community or some people from the Jews of Medina were rejecting and denying the true signs brought by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So again, in reference to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressing that if they had believed, truly believed and adopted piety, then the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have been excellent for them. The lasting reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any social gain or any financial gain in this world is temporary, as are many other things in this world. And mankind generally, humankind has a tendency, as human beings we have a tendency to easily become arrogant or ungrateful. The great hadith scholar Sayyidina Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said that if it were it not for three things, then humankind or human beings would be full of vanity. They would be the full of pride, and they would be the most arrogant in creation. And he mentioned the three things, simple but powerful, and a great truth in this statement. He said, the three things, not in any particular order, need, illness, and death. Were it not for these three things, a lot of people, their arrogance would just peak or stay at a peak. When we are in need, it humbles us because we have to seek help to fulfill that need. It makes us remember how fragile we are or how limited we are. If the job that we have, if that is taken away from us, suddenly we are struggling to keep the maintenance of the house or the running of the household in check. We struggle with the way we deal with people if an advantage is taken away from us. When there is need, there is a humbling element. And also illness. If we don't have good health, then we're impeded. So the activities that we do every day may be not just confined to work, but communication. It could be the way we manage things. If our health is such that we're barely able to open our eyes, or physically we cannot move as freely as we need to move to ensure our matters remain well managed, then this is another thing which will humble us, or which will humble humankind. And death, the reality of death is in front of all human beings. It is an undeniable reality. So despite all plans, ambitions, objectives, targets, whatever it is, when death comes and severs all happiness and severs all these hopes, we realize how fragile we truly are and how our plans can easily be affected or even destroyed by something as powerful as death. So even despite these three elements, humbling elements, humankind still has this tendency to be ungrateful and even rebellious, astaghfirullah, sometimes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His commands. So we seek Allah's mercy, we seek Allah's grace, we seek realization, that we realize how weak and fragile we truly are, and we take advantage of the time and moments that we have in this world. The next verse is a very powerful verse which has an important discussion point. We'll first go through the verse and the translation, and then we will look at the main points of learning or reflection from the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقُولُوا رَاعِنَا. O believers, do not say رَاعِنَا, which literally means consider our state. وَقُولُوا انظُرْنَا وَاسْمَعُوا. Say, Your Excellency, look upon us. So the believers are being told what? They are not to say this word, Ra'ina, to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and rather they should say, Unzurna. They should say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Your Excellency, look upon us. And this is, this commentary, this translation is based upon commentary, a contextual translation. Literally, That word, it means look upon us. But because we are discussing the etiquette of the prophetic court, then we add the appropriate element to make this, to contextualize this situation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the believers, do not say ra'ina. And this is in reference to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather say, Your Excellency, look upon us. Wasma'u. And there's another command which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, and listen attentively in advance. So another point of etiquette, what are the believers to do? They are not to say a certain word. Instead, they are to say another word. And they should be listening. They should be attentive in advance. So there should be no need for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to repeat any element. Their attentiveness should be there from the very beginning. وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And for the disbelievers, there is agonizing punishment. Now, just to explain what this instruction was about, or the context of this instruction, the background of revelation, as it can be described, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was sitting with some companions teaching them, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And during this session, or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching the companions, from time to time, they would say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ra'ina ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The meaning could be something to the effect of, consider us, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give us some time. This is what it really meant. They were taking in this information from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what they were saying was actually in response, or with the emotion that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, consider us, in the sense of, give us time. Let us take this information in. Let us understand it. This is what they were saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And why was this said by them? They wanted to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully. So they needed from time to time an extra moment. So they requested, or they would make this request to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, consider our state. Let us just take this information in. Let us understand it before you proceed or give us further instruction. In the dialect of the Jews of that time, this word, ra'ina, had a meaning that was was not befitting the excellence or the rank of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. There was a disrespectable element related to this word in the dialect of the Jews. And they began to say it, some of them, they began to say this word with that very intention. Sayyiduna Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was aware of this meaning in the dialect of the Jews. And he observed and he saw how they were using this word with evil intent, with an intention of disrespect. So he approached them and he warned them and threatened them and said to them, if you use this word, or if you address the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam with such disrespect, I will have your heads. I will take you, your lives. And this was his response to what he observed and perceived to be disrespect of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So he actually said to them, O enemies of God, do not, if you disrespect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, or if I hear this word from you again, I will take your lives. When they saw this response from Sayyiduna Sa'ad bin Mu'adh, some of them said, why do you rebuke us? Why do you reprimand us when your brethren, the Muslims, they also say the very same thing? They use the very same word. When they said this, Sayyiduna Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala and was saddened. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in this state where he felt heartbroken. As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an explicit verse of the Qur'an which clearly instructed the believers that they are not to use the word ra'ina anymore for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and instead they should use unzurna when they want the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to consider their state. So a ruling was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically due to this situation, due to what had occurred. Now, a few lessons here. The first obvious lesson is that the honor and respect and the reverence for the Prophet alayhi wasalam, generally speaking, is incumbent. It is fard. It is a personal obligation. And to bring or to use a word which goes against the respect of any prophets alayhi wasalam is not permitted in our religion. Another point to keep in mind, as far as the legal aspect is concerned, if there is a word which has a good meaning and also a bad meaning, then even then, such a word should not be used for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, or generally for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or for the prophets alayhi wasalam. Meaning, this aspect will be something understood by the people of the language. So sometimes this may be an issue in Urdu, sometimes this may be an issue in translation in English, and in this case it was an Arabic, a situation of the Arabic language. The word itself that was forbidden was a word which linguistically, literally did not have a negative meaning. But due to the way it was used and due to a negative meaning being attached to it in a certain dialect which was used in that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressed the prohibition. So in the same way, people who translate couplets, they may be couplets of praise for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And generally speaking, when we use words, even if it's not in translation, if we talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must be very careful about the words that we use, the descriptions that we use. If there is a word or description which has a negative meaning as well as a normal meaning which is acceptable, then it should be avoided. And if further guidance is required regarding this, then the scholars of the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah who speak that same language must be consulted. We must not rely upon our limited knowledge and translate things or say things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that we are unsure about, especially if linguistically there are issues or the meanings related to that word can be negative too. Another point to consider here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is revealing the adab or the etiquette in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Here he made it clear that such a word cannot be used that has a meaning which does not befit the greatness of his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and an instruction to the companions, but a general instruction also that when they are in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they should be attentive, and there should not be a need for them to be excessively asking for time or for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to allow them time to understand things, especially since it was the miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His speech was very clear, the most clear of speech, understandable, and he would himself naturally at times repeat things three times. So this was also the etiquette taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And towards the end, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and for the disbelievers there is agonizing punishment, this is a reference to those particular Jews in Medina who disrespected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and were using the word ra'ina with an intention of disrespect. They were warned that those who disrespect the Prophet alayhi wasallam, they actually commit an action which annuls faith, which takes one out of the fold of belief. So if one disrespects or denigrates any Prophet alayhi wasallam, then he will not remain a believer, and any chance of salvation for that individual will go if his faith is nullified. In the next verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَلَا الْمُشْرِكِينَ أَن يُنَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ. O Muslims, neither the disbelievers from the people of the book nor the polytheists want that any goodness is sent down upon you from your Lord. وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَن يَشَاءُ. Allah specifies with His mercy whomsoever He wills. Wallahu dhul fadlil azim. And Allah is most gracious. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to a particular group among the Jews who would apparently express an affiliation to the believers and try to forge ties of kinship with them. The believers were warned that this approach of kinship or this approach of affinity is a deceptive approach. In reality, these people, they have no khair in their hearts. They do not have good intentions for you. And this was a warning that all these claims of affinity and all these claims that they are making about being reasonable or just are claims that are false. And so the claims of affinity from this certain group were false claims, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear for the believers of that time, and as a general lesson and reminder that people who are enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam or both, they cannot truly have affinity with you. For the objectives are clashing. There cannot be an expectation of true empathy or sincerity from people who are enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So believers, wherever they are, in any era, in any country, in any place, must be vigilant and must take precautions when dealing with those who have enmity or show hostility towards the religion, towards the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or even towards the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. The next verse we will introduce, but the explanation related to this verse we might look at in our next episode. The verse is a very famous verse, or introduces a very famous theme. I will mention the verse with translation in the time that we have, and we will look at this in more detail in our next episode. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. When we abrogate a verse or cause people to forget, then we bring forth a verse which is better or similar to it. أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. O listener, Do you not know that Allah has power over everything? So this verse, the theme of this verse, or the theme of discussion regarding this verse, is abrogation. And abrogation, in a linguistic sense, is when a previous ruling is lifted by a subsequent ruling, a subsequent proof in Sharia. So there was a ruling which existed previously, but then a new evidence or an evidence or verse or hadith of mass transmission later came to change the ruling of that verse, to nullify the ruling of that verse, or to amend the ruling of that verse. It could mean one or any of these things. And we, as believers, we believe in the abrogation which has taken place in certain rulings of verses of the Quran. How has this happened, or how did this happen? Why does this happen? And what is the wisdom of this? Why would a ruling be abrogated if a ruling in Sharia has been given already? Is there any need for it to be changed? Why would it change? This and a lot more we will discuss in our next episode of The Clear Criterion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow the teachings of the Quran, to be sincere in our endeavors. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.